The Buddha said, "We are what we think. All that we are arises with our thoughts. With our thoughts, we make the world." If you transform your mind, then you will transform your own perceptions and your experience. Thereby, even circumstances and outer appearances will begin to change and appear differently. The root text, the essence of eloquent speech, prays to the Buddha for teaching profound, dependent arising. I bow down to him who is inside in speech, make him unexhaled a sage and teacher. The victor realized ultimate truth that utters dependently related arising. Ignorance is the very root of all troubles in this transitory world. These are averted by understanding the dependent arising which you've taught. How then could the intelligent not understand that the path of dependently related arising is the essence of your teaching? This being so, O Savior, who could find anything more wonderful to praise you for than your teaching of the dependent arising? Whatever depends on conditions is empty of inherent existence. What excellent instruction could there be more amazing than these words? Through wrongly holding dependent arising, the childish strengthen bondage to extreme views. But for the wise, the same thing is the means to cut free from the net of elaborations. Since this teaching is not found elsewhere, you alone are the teacher. For a Tritika, this name will be a flattery, like calling a fox a lion. O wondrous teacher, O wondrous refuge, supreme speaker, great protector, I pay homage to the great teacher who so clearly explained dependent arising. O benefactor, to heal all beings you proclaim dependent arising, the peerless reason for ascertaining emptiness, the heart of the teaching. How could those who see the way of profound dependent arising as contradictory or unproven ever understand your system? When one perceives empty as the meaning of dependent arising, empty of inherent existence does not contradict the function of agent and action. Whereas if one perceives the opposite, since there can be neither action in voidness nor emptiness in what has action, one would fall into dreadful abyss. Therefore, understanding dependent arising, as you have taught, is well praised. Things are not totally non-existent, nor are they inherently existent. The independent is like a sky flower. Therefore, nothing is not dependent. Existence with self-nature preclude establishment by causes and conditions. Thus, it is taught that because nothing exists other than the dependent horizon, there is no existent thing which is not empty of inherent existence. Since inherent nature has no end, you said that nirvana would be impossible if phenomena had any inherent nature, for elaborations could not be stopped. Therefore, who could challenge him who, in assemblies of the wise, has clearly proclaimed with lion's roar freedom from inherent nature? Since lack of inherent nature and the ability to function do not contradict, never mind that dependent arising and emptiness coexist. By the reason of dependent arising, there are no grounds for extreme views. For this fine teaching, O Protector, your speech is unexcelled. All is empty of self-nature, and from this cause arises that effect. These two certainties assist each other and abide in harmony. What is more wonderful than this? What is more marvelous than this? If you are praised for this principle, that is real praise, nothing else. Those held in slavery by delusions hopelessly resent you so free and clear. Small wonder that they find intolerable that sound of non-inherent existence. But to accept dependent arising, the precious treasure of your speech, then resent the roar of emptiness, this do I find surprising. If through the very term of highest dependent arising, the door that leads to non-inherent existence that grabs inherent existence by what means, can these people be led into the good path which pleases you? That incomparable entrance, well travelled by supreme Aryas. Inherent existence, unmade and non-dependent. Dependent related, made and dependent. How can these two states be combined, on one base, without contradictions? Therefore, whatever arises dependently, though always free from inherent existence, appears to exist free from its own side. So you said this is like an illusion. Through this very fact, we can well understand the assertion that, in the way you taught, those who would challenge you by way of logic can find no fallacy. Why? Because your explanation make remote the chance that one will exaggerate or deny, manifest or non-manifest things. Your speech is seen as peerless, because it presents the path of dependent arising. And this gives rise to certainty that your other teachings are valid too. You saw reality and taught it well. Those who train in your footsteps will transcend all trouble, for they shall destroy the root of evil. But those who turn away from your teaching, though they rarely struggle long and hard, invite problems one after the other by their firm views of the self. Marvelous when the wise comprehend the difference between these two trainings. How can they fail to respect you from their innermost hearts? Not to mention the entire wealth of your teachings, just generally understanding one small part of them is to bring supreme bliss. Alas, my own mind was ruled by confusion when long ago I sought refuge, blind to your teachings' vast qualities, not to mention the fine details. Yet the stream of life has not yet sunk into the mouth of the Lord of Death, and I have a little belief in you. Even this, I think, fortunate. Of teachers, the teachers of dependent arising, of wisdom, the wisdom of dependent arising. Like kings over all conquerors in the world, this prove your wisdom supreme. All that you have taught is related to dependent arising, and since this leads to nirvana, no deed of yours does not bring peace. Wonderful is your teaching, since whoever listens will attain peace. Who could not be devoted to preserving such teaching? Are that overcomes all opponents, is free from internal contradiction, and fulfills both goals of beings, my delight ever grows for this doctrine. For the sake of the doctrine, you gave again and again over countless aeons, sometimes your body, sometimes your life, your dear family, and treasures of wealth. When I contemplate the excellences of your Dharma, you appear to my mind as a fish is drawn by the hook. How sad my fate to have not heard it from you. The intensity of this sadness doesn't let my mind go free, just as the mother's mind never separates from the thought of her beloved, lost child. But when I reflect on your speech, thinking, blazing with splendor of holy marks and signs allowed by rays of light, oh, teacher, with your beautiful Brahma voice, you spoke in this way. And then in my mind, the image of Shakyamuni arises, and immediately my sorrows are healed as moonbeams soothe a fever. Although this good system is so marvelous, the unskilled become totally confused, ideas all tangled in every way, just like a balbasa grass. Having understood the problem, I then schooled myself in the text of skilled sages and with energy listened here and there, ever thinking the meaning of your intention. I studied many treatises of Buddhist and non-Buddhist schools, yet my mind was tormented surely time and again in the web of doubt. Nagarjuna was prophesied to explain rightly the principle of your final vehicle, free from the extremes of existence and non-existence, when I, through the kindness of the Lama, beheld the night lily garden of his treatise, illuminated by garlands of white light, true eloquence of the glorious moon, Chandrakirti, whose bright orb of immaculate wisdom moves freely across the sky of scripture, dispelling the darkness of extremist hearts and outshining the constellations of wrong speech, my mind found relief at last. Of all his deeds, Buddha's speech is supreme, and for this very reason, true sages should commemorate the perfect one for this teaching of dependent arising. Inspired by the teacher, I renounced the world and studied well the conqueror's teaching. I have been diligent in yoga practice, such is this monk's reverence for the great seer. By the kindness of my guru, I was fortunate to meet the liberating teaching of the peerless guide. Therefore, I dedicate this virtue as a cause for all beings to be received by spiritual friends. Until samsara ends, may the beneficent one's teaching be undisturbed by the winds of wrong views. May all beings in the world forever understand the essence of the teaching and have faith in the teacher. May they uphold Shakyamuni's excellent way, which reveals the principle of dependent arising. Through all their lives, let them never waver, even at the cost of their bodies or their lives. Day and night, may they always be thinking how to best propagate this glorious success achieved by Supreme Liberator in lives of assiduous effort beyond measure. When things strive with pure intention to preserve this doctrine, may Brahma, Indra, the world's protectors, and the guardians such as Mahakala be constant aids, never letting them down. Om ye dhamma etu brabhava etun te shantadakaro ye varate shansayo nirodara evam vare mashramanaha soha. Om ye dhamma etu prabhava etun te shantadakaro ye varate shansayo nirodara evam vare mashramanaha soha. Om ye dhamma etu prabhava etun te shantadakato ye varate shansayo nirodara evam vare mashramanaha soha. Mm-hmm.